Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance through our risen and living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As mentioned earlier, we'll be studying the Word of God as it was recorded in our Gospel reading from John chapter 14. I share with you just that very first verse again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My dear brothers and sisters, rejoicing that Jesus lives and he lives for us. It was in 1954 that a couple words were added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. They were added because there was this battle between communism and democracy. And communism, being that atheistic type of government, well, that had to be combated. And so it was put into our Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Shortly thereafter, 1955, Dwight D. Eisenhower signed a proclamation that in God we trust would be in all currency, both the paper currency and the coins. And there it's been ever since. There was a little time that was missing from some coins, but by and large, since 1955, 56, in God we trust has been in all our dollars and all our coins. Now we think about that. That's been debated sometimes. There have been those who don't think it's right, who think it's wrong. It's blending of church and state. It was even taken all the way up to the Supreme Court. And then one of the judges, Sandra Day O'Connor, gave this report on it when the Supreme Court wouldn't handle the case and sent it down to another federal court. She stated that really there is no problem with the motto on the grounds that it is ceremonial deism, that through constant repetition, it has lost its religious content. No longer religious in nature, the phrase has become rather a historic artifact, a public recognition of the role of religion in national life, and an expression of patriotism. In God we trust has lost religious significance? That's a shame, isn't it? It's even a greater shame when it loses its religious significance in God's people, in the children of God, you and me. And that's really when Jesus is speaking to his disciples now, that says, listen, you believe in me, you trust in me. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Trust in God. Trust in his plan for you. Trust in his path for you. Trust in his purpose for you. Yes, trust in God. It's difficult to do sometimes because we see all the things that we have planned and we think should flow in a very easy way, and it doesn't happen that way. And so we sometimes begin to doubt and not believe and trust in God. The words Jesus uttered, to believe in God and don't let your hearts be troubled, these were given on Maundy Thursday evening. These were given before the disciples were going to have the most terrible incidents in their life up to this point. They were going to see their Lord and Savior arrested. They were going to see him brutalized. Eventually, on the next day, they would see him crucified. They were scared. They were frightened. They were troubled. And Jesus, before this all happened, he says, now don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus tells those words to his disciples so that they might be able to face the unknown, the uncertain, the troubling times that they were about to see, the troubling times that people would not want to listen to Jesus or follow him. Jesus tells us to trust him too. Question might be, how well do we do that? Do we put our hope and life and faith in Jesus and say, Lord, whatever you will, do we cast all our cares on him and trust that he'll carry them? Do we take everything he has given to us and say, Lord, your will be done? Oh, we pray it, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer? We think it very often. But has trusting God lost its religious significance for us? To look at all that God has done, do we look to other places and other people? Do we trust them more than we trust God? It's been very popular lately. Oh, we need to trust the science. Well, science is different discoveries made by mankind. Why can't we trust God? Why can't we trust God who created everything to know what he had made and why he had made it? Why can't we trust God who so loved us that he sent his one and only son? Why can't we trust him to take care of all the other things? Oh, sometimes we excuse ourselves. It's too small a thing to bother God. There's nothing too small. With the greatest of love, he makes our every point of life important. Important to him. When we come to him in prayer, it's like we're the only one offering our prayer. We're the only one, and he's going to listen specifically to us. And in love, he'll answer our prayer in his time, in his way, but always in love for you and me. Oh, I know, we want to hurry things along. We want all the solutions to be the way we make it. But what we need to do, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And he gives them evidence. He says, in my Father's house, it has many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He'd have said, I have this plan for you. We need to trust the plan. In the Father's house, in heaven itself, God has a place for you and me. Think about that for a moment. What a grand and glorious thought. And he goes there to prepare a place for us. Somewhat following the tradition of weddings at this time, the bridegroom would go and prepare his home to receive his bride. Whether it was cleaning or remodeling or something, everything was set so that he would leave his home to bring his bride in. That's what Jesus did. He went to glory to say, I'm preparing a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. That's God's plan for us. Trust that plan. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Oh, I know. Satan will want you to doubt that. Satan doesn't want you to put your confidence and trust in God. He knows God's ability to keep his promises. He also knows God's will is to keep every one of the promises and to bring us to glory. So Jesus told his disciples, don't be troubled now. Relax a little bit. Be calm. You believe in God? Believe in me. Believe in why I am here and what I am doing for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. Trust in God. Trust in his plan for you. Trust in his path for you, on the path that you're going to go. You know, so often we go and, well, nowadays it's a little different. Nobody knows how to read a map anymore, so I'm told, but they know how to watch a GPS. They know how to let the computer tell them when to turn and where to turn, or as it recalibrates, it says, hey, now you got to make a U-turn. We don't always know what path we're on or how the path will get us there. We don't know what roadblocks are ahead of us. We don't know what detours we're going to need to follow. And yet, what does Jesus say? You know the place to where I am going, and you know the way. Thomas said, I don't know the way. How can we know the way? And Jesus had to tell them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who believes in me will live. Think about that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. There aren't other ways. Don't ever fall for it when people say, well, all the different churches, it's just a whole lot of paths going the same direction, end up in the same location. That's not true. There is only one Christ, one Lord, one Savior, and one way to eternal life. And that's Jesus Christ. All the other directions are false directions, wrong directions, and will take you to a location you don't want to be. Jesus told his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's very special, isn't it? Only through Jesus are we saved. Only through the sacrifice of Jesus covering our sins with his own blood are we saved. Only by his substitution for you and me are we saved. No other way. Not by living a good life. Not by giving to charities. Not by doing what we think is appropriate and living a life that people find pleasing. No. It is through Jesus and Jesus alone that we are saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Trust his way. I like to always mention sometimes that he knows a lot of long cuts. We like to go with shortcuts, don't we? God sometimes leads us on long cuts. Places that take us to areas we never thought of visiting before. We didn't anticipate going down there. Think of the long cuts in life. When illness comes our way, that's not a road we wanted to travel, but now we're on it. And the Lord is there. He says, trust me to take you on the way. Trust me to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. Trust me to be in front of your enemies and protect you and provide a feast for you. Trust me, he says. Believe in me. And the one who gave his life for us is not going to leave us alone. You can believe his every word, his every statement. He went on with his disciples and tells them, from now on, you know the Father, for you have seen him. And Philip then said, well, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus had to correct them. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you ask? Show us the Father. Jesus was the action of God's love. We know the Father through Jesus' love. We know his love for you and me, sacrificing his one and only Son, the one he loved, sacrificing him so that you and I might be with him in glory everlasting. This is God's gift to us. Trust in God. Trust in his plan for you. Trust in the path he has laid out for you, that even though at times the path may be difficult, the path may be tough, life is tough. Some say life's tough, get a helmet. We don't have to get a helmet. We've got God. We've got Jesus Christ to take us through the most difficult of times. The times we have our greatest of doubts. The times that the tears just tend to flow. Trust in God to take you along that path to glory. He has a plan for you. He has a place for you, which he himself has prepared for you. And think about it. If God gets it ready, oh, how wonderful that place must be. Jesus has done this. Trust in God, we're told. Jesus says, you trust in me. There were going to be any number of times. You think about that night when the soldiers came and arrested Jesus and the disciples fled. They didn't know. Oh, Peter had declared earlier, I'll even die for you, Lord. But Jesus even knew he would deny him before the rooster crowed. Oh, yeah. They forgot to trust. They forgot to believe. And trusting in God, well, maybe it lost its religious significance for them. Maybe their faith fled along with them, even though Jesus had told them what it was all about. They didn't believe. They didn't understand. Oh, but there's more, because as he goes on with this, he says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. At least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. You read through the New Testament and you can't help but see Jesus working miracles as signs of who he was. He was the Son of God. Every one of the miracles was done not to garner more followers, not to get people to believe in him as Lord and Savior, but to prove he is Lord and Savior. It wasn't to build up a crowd of watch the miracle worker. It was to let people know, I am the one sent from the Heavenly Father. I am God's answer to your terrible situation of sin, your situation that Satan has got you. I am the answer to your prayers. The Father's love for you is that he sent me to be your substitute. Jesus said, believe at least on the evidence of the works themselves. How often Jesus was questioned. How often they said, give us a sign, Jesus. Tell us something that will ensure for us that you're the Messiah. So finally, Jesus said, I'll give you a sign. I'll give you the sign of Jonah. 3 days, just like Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, so also the Son of Man will be in the grave for 3 days and will rise again. And he did that, didn't he? In this time of Easter, we continue to celebrate the empty tomb, the resurrection of our Savior, because that's his plan for us. That's his path for us. And guess what? That's his purpose for us. That it isn't kept a secret that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not kept a secret that he rose from the dead. It's not kept a secret that you and I are forgiven by the love of Jesus Christ and by his sacrifice on the cross. This is God's plan for you, his path for you, and our purpose to share that with one another, to live that life that says, Jesus Christ is everything to me, to trust in God, to believe in him, to know him as our Savior and Lord. It's more than just a religious statement. It is a way of life for us. It's more than just something to say that gives us a patriotic value. It is life itself. My dear Christian friends, whether you see it on a coin or on a dollar bill, whether you think it in yourself, don't quit on that. When difficulties come our way, don't give up. Don't doubt. But trust in God. His plan is for you. The path he has laid out for you is one that leads you to glory. And his purpose for us is to share that good news. Trust in God. May we always do that. Amen. And now may the peace that Jesus brings to us ever keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with him in the place he's prepared for us, glory everlasting. Amen.